Hello everyone, welcome to the Swim Coaches podcast again. We're back with the breakdown episode two. Today, yet again, me and Sam will be breaking down your swim sets that you've been sending in and talking about how this is going to make it more easier for you guys to understand. Because of course, with COVID and bits like that, everyone now, some people can swim in club sessions, some people can't. So you go in public swimming and you can find all these swim sets out on the internet, but you can't understand reasons why you need to do them or what these sets actually will help you do to improve your swimming. So we're going to go into the science and the breakdowns and reasons why it's going to help you get faster and the reasons why it's making us get faster. So kickstart. We're starting off with a simple test set, which is 7 200s freestyle. And it's a step test. So we're starting at PB plus 18 for the first one. Then the second one is plus 16. And then you're minus in 2 seconds each time you're going through.
Absolutely to your end on a PB plus four. So test set, it says it in the name, really. It is a set where you are testing where you are at that current point in time. Very popular test set as well. Definitely used in your youth swimming side of stuff. Where kids still haven't probably fully specialized in a certain event yet, but are all still racing 200s. It's an excellent indicator of where their fitness, but also their speed is at that time as well. Obviously, with there, you said that it's the one that we've been sent is freestyle in particular, which is absolutely fantastic. But it can be done on number one. It can be done on number one. I remember doing this regularly, doing it backstroke. And it's great. It's a really good set because guess what? It tests you. And that is the point of a test set, is that it tests you. Okay. And the great thing about test sets are that you can repeat them every quarter, so every 3 months. And see if there's an improvement. And if there is an improvement, fantastic, keep doing what you're doing. If there isn't an improvement, go back to the drawing board. But I can guarantee, with the types of guys who are doing this set regularly, there will be an improvement throughout the season, most definitely. Most definitely.
No, I agree. And test sets as well, they don't have to come in this kind of variety as well. Because if any of you have read the Sprint Sailor book, he talks about something called pots, isn't it? Plots? Where the
Yeah,
session will start at,
pulses, yeah.
I think it's like 10 ones, and it's starting at about 60%, increasing to 100%, and then back down to 60% again. And you're taking your heart rates and trying to find out whether you can like maintain a lower heart rate but a higher intensity kind of stuff.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And again, that's measurable, isn't it? It's measurable. You can see. Time-wise, it's measurable. Heart rate-wise, it's measurable. If you record it, which you should do, especially with these test sets, so either the coach is recording it for you, or you have a sheet which you can write your times down, your heart rates down onto. That's your reference point. You do one at the beginning of the season. You go, okay, this is where I am now. Let's do this set 2 3 months down the line. What are the times now in comparison? Brilliant, I've got faster. That means the training's working. Let's keep going. Another 3 months, 2 3 months down the line. Bam, I've improved again. Fantastic. So on and so on. And that's the beauty of a test set. That isn't the only test set out there, obviously. That one's specific for 200s. There are sprint test sets where you're doing 15 meters max, take an average, jobs are good. But with. The one mistake I do see is the overuse of test sets, I'd say. Especially mentally, I think, because maybe if you're doing them, say, once a month or once every 3 weeks or something like that, it's too much. It's too much comparison to yourself, to others, and so on. You're not giving the training a chance to kick in. So use every 3 months, but use in the right way. I think is probably my key message
in
that side of things, because it's a test, but it's also a hard training session as well. So
yeah, you're going to be spent at the end of these sessions, that's for sure.
Absolutely.
I remember doing some good 400 test sets, and that is not pleasant. It takes a lot out of you, and it will take a lot out of your training week as well. So it's not only that day that you're taking it out of, it will take it out for the next couple of days when you're training. And that's something
100%, especially if you're doing, like you're saying, the 200s, 400s side of stuff, that will take, it will take it out of you. But how useful they are to a coach in particular, it makes up for it. It makes up for it. You can then record the scores and use them as an indicator of where your swimmers are at that time. And then that helps with your planning for the next 2 months, for the next micro cycle, next couple of micro cycles.
Now, no, I agree.
That is the point of them. That is the point of them. If you looked at it just as a set, if you didn't even think about it as a test set, it's still a really good set, because you're descending time, you're increasing effort, you're trying to sustain skills and what have you. So it's a good set on its own, but as a test set, it's particularly effective.
Yeah, no, I'd agree there. Also, to the audience, if anyone knows, tell us what a microcycle, metacycle and bits like that are.
Oh, okay, yeah, cool. So, all you coaches out there obviously know what it is, but for those who aren't coaches or don't really know too much about the cycling side of stuff, when I say a macro cycle, a micro cycle and so on, a micro cycle makes up a macro cycle, essentially. So micro into macro, simple. So a micro cycle for me, when I'm coaching either the senior performance group at my club or the master's group, I'm looking at a 3 to 4 week micro cycle. Yeah, so that can, those micro cycles have a particular emphasis on whether that be speed or aerobic or what have you. And then I then have another micro cycle, then another micro cycle, and then that makes up a macro cycle. So a macro cycle can either be 2 to 3 months or even 6 months. And then you have your big, big, big mesocycle, which is your year-long program, or split into two blocks of 5 months, really. The swimming calendar is constant, to be honest with you, because with masters, the season is completely different to what it is with your age group guys. So it's an all-year-round sport, no matter what, really. But yeah, simple.
And for all those who are interested, if you... we're out there now, public swimming and bits of that, constructing your plans for this time in that way is probably the best way for you to get the best benefits. Because from the research that I've looked at, a lot of people have tried to think, oh, I'll do speed on Monday, aerobic on this day, and try and spread all of it into 1 week and continue to do that. You're not actually hitting the best training stimuli doing that. You're damping it down by doing too much variety.
Exactly. Too much. Trying to fit everything in within a week, I understand why. If you think about it, if you're doing a gym program, you're trying to hit every body part at least once, maybe twice in a week. That makes sense. Yeah. But within those cycles, you're either doing hypertrophy, you're doing strength, you're doing power. So it is still specific to a certain area or type of training. Yeah. Same goes with swimming. You don't want to be chucking in every, like you're saying, speed one day, endurance, kick, pull, everything like that into one thing, into 1 week. You'll have 3 weeks where the biggest emphasis would say be aerobic. Would there still be little speed parts in there every now and then? Absolutely. Very small parts, but 80% of the training that you're doing, probably 90%, needs to be stuck to one particular emphasis. That's how I see it.
No, I agree with that. Definitely. Because I feel like bits like speed and bits like that, I always feel like maybe once a week you need to actually hit that maximum effort just to keep that twitch there. But the training volume itself needs to be specific to per week or per cycle to a certain area, or else you're going to start dampening down your training because you're stimulized all over the place and your body's not going to respond to that well.
Absolutely. And plus, it makes it easier if, like, in these times where people are going into public sessions on their own, it makes it easier for you to do. I know how hard it is getting into a pool or going to a gym without a set or a plan or an emphasis in mind. It makes it so difficult. Really, really does. And completely transparent, I never feel motivated when I don't have a plan.
Yeah.
I don't have a plan, I'm not motivated to do it, so I know I'm not putting in the correct amount of effort. However, if I know what cycle I'm in, I know what set I'm doing that day, easy, I can do that. Yeah, so you use your cycles, look up all of your cycles. There's so much out there on the internet that goes through everything we've been talking about with your micro, macro, and meso cycles. They even have graphs and sheets showing exactly how you should be peaking and troughing your meterage. Use and abuse. That's all I can say.
Yeah. And if any of you are not internet buffs, there's plenty of books out there as well. One of the ones I've got is the Championship Swim Training books. And they're 80s books, but they're still got some really good solid data in there.
Mr. Sweetman knew his stuff. He really did. Yeah. I carry it in my bag all the time.
It's a little Bible.
That definitely worth getting, guys. Get it off eBay. Don't get it full price. It's too much money. Just get it off eBay. Jobs are good.
No, that's definitely good. So yeah, test sets, we've been over that. And I think, same with you, it's important to be measurable, but don't overdo them.
Absolutely. Do them when they're appropriate to do so.
Yeah. And if we bring tailor this into your like microcycles, you'll probably say at the end of a microcycle, mesocycle kind of thing, the end of a stage post.
Yeah, you could do, or you could do it at the beginning and then compare them at the end. Simple. It depends how long you're going to plan your microcycles for.
Yeah. No, that makes a sense. Right, should we go on to our second one of today?
Yes, please.
Now, this one's a bit of a interesting one. We've got 3 75s in this one. Of course, you can increase that, but these 75s are broken down. So we're starting off with a dive 50 at max effort. You're then going to take 10 seconds, and then you're going to go into a 25 holding the pace. So whatever you've got left, you're going for that last 25. This is a bit more lactate production. Kind of bit of race practice, bits like that.
Absolutely. So the key word that I'm getting from there is stroke rate. Stroke rate. Did it have any particular sort of emphasis it was? Was it 50? Was it 100 rate?
They didn't say about the rates or anything like that. But okay, distance like that, I'll put that more into the 50-100 zone.
Yeah, 50 and 100 mark. It makes perfect sense. You could tailor this for either a 50 or 100 meter swimmer. We'll just use those two as a basic example. If you're aiming at 50 stroke rate, you go at your 50 stroke rate for a 50, and then you're trying to maintain that stroke rate on the next 25.
What, trying to build that like over distance kind of thing for a 50?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. With the 50 guys, you're getting them to max out a 50. You're having 10 seconds rest, and then you're just giving them an extra half of the event they're training for to do. Like saying, it's that we use over distance very loosely. I like that set. It's a really cool set, really cool. And like you were saying, it's race practice in terms of you're going from a dive, you're going at a high effort, but you're also trying to emulate a race stroke rate, and that's really important. Stroke rate is massively important. I'll use my squad as an example. So actually the university squad, to be precise, at Portsmouth University, Rat Bucks, I had a couple of guys who were in the top set of heats doing the 100 meter freestyle. Now these guys are decent swimmers. Yeah, they're hitting 52, 53 for 100 freestyle long course. Pretty good. Yeah, not too bad at all. But then we know there are guys there your Loughborough's, your Stirling's, your Bath's, everything like that. They're coming in and they're hitting 50s. Yeah, some are hitting 49s. The key difference and the main difference I could see was the stroke rate that is maintained throughout the whole race. So I'm recording stroke rates and splits within these guys. So I'm seeing my swimmers, they're going out holding a stroke rate of whatever number on the first 50, then that stroke rate drops. The last 35 meters, it keeps dropping and then dropping and dropping. Yeah. Obviously, fatigue sets in, makes it a lot harder to keep the rate correct. Yeah.
Yeah.
With these guys, these elite level guys, they're holding a stroke rate slightly lower than what my guys were holding on the first 50, but then they maintain that for the whole 100. The whole 100 at the same stroke rate. The race looks the same from the start to the beginning. Now the stroke stays the same. And this type of set is really important in helping and teaching your swimmers how to hold a stroke rate, but also to experiment with a stroke rate and see which is more appropriate for them. And the one which would be more appropriate for them is the one that they can hold on that 25.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not the one that necessarily makes them go the fastest on the 50. You want a halfway house between the speed and being able to hold on that third 25. That's how I see this set really working.
Especially for the
100. Your production side of things, the technical race tactical side of stuff as well.
Yeah. No, for the 100, I would definitely agree there because stroke rate is so key. I think one thing we need to talk about if we're talking about stroke rate, which is slightly going away from the set, is actually how people can increase their stroke rate. Because I know a lot of people really struggle with increasing stroke rate because, of course, I feel that comes down to a lot of people swimming, training at a slower speed and don't swim enough at the higher end. So there is ways to increase, there is drills, there is sessions in which you can help increase your stroke rate. And I think maybe if we're talking about that, we should go into that a little bit.
Absolutely. I mean, what I will say, just as a disclaimer straight away, is that people's stroke rates are very individual to people. Yeah, so it all depends on height, wingspan, everything like that. We need to make each of these strokes effective. So if someone's doing an effective stroke at a lower stroke rate, don't change it. That's how I see it. But if they're going either too fast or too slow and you know they can do better, then you're trying to increase their stroke rate. Now, it is a little bit more than that. You don't just go up to an athlete who you know they need to increase their stroke rate and say, you need to move your arms faster. Yeah, that's not helpful. That's not helpful in the slightest. You can say, I need you to increase your stroke rate by doing this. And the main thing that I found to help increase stroke rate is to limit or get rid of any pauses within the stroke. Yeah. So by a pause, I mean a hold on a glide. I mean any pause or holding, say in breaststroke, if they're holding their arms in front of their chest too long before then throwing the arms forward on the recovery. You see that all the time. In fly, waiting for the second kick to initiate so then the stroke can then progress. There are all kinds of pauses within the stroke. Some will be very stylistic. So with your three-quarter catch-up within like your 200, 400 swimmers, that's fine. That's suitable to them. But if you've got guys doing 50s, 100s, there cannot be pauses in the stroke. You see these big guys straight arming a 50 or even straight arming the last 25 of 100, there is no pause within their stroke. They are constantly moving. And just by doing that, the swimmer then doesn't have to think of putting more effort into spinning their arms faster.
Yeah.
It's just stopping a pause within the stroke.
I know one thing I've been looking at recently is for my, as I train, for those who don't know, I train Masley 50, But when I look at doing 100 or 200 in training at the moment, I focus more on, as soon as I've extended my arm to the full reach, I start the catch in straight away. So as soon as I've got to that full extension, the catch is starting straight away. Because if you look at people like Dresel, like even the 200 swimmers, if we look at, what's his name? The Hungarian, Lithuanian guy.
Rapsis.
There you go. There is no glide in freestyle anymore. Even with Katie Ledecky at the 1500, the freestyle glide, I would now say, is gone. To a degree, if we look at high level,
the glide is getting them into a position to then initiate the next stroke. It's not just
an extension of the stroke.
Yeah.
Because I remember I used to get taught you've got to glide in between each stroke, but I feel like that's now gone, and it's more you extend fully and then you start the catching straight away. And the stroke rates are even on the 1500 now, the stroke rates have increased a lot, I feel.
No, you're definitely right. But obviously, increasing stroke rate then comes with other stuff that you need to then improve as well. Because if you've got a swimmer who's got a traditionally quite a slow, relaxed stroke rate, and you're then getting them to limit the pauses in the stroke and just keep moving, that's then going to knock other stuff out as well. So it's going to have an effect on their kick rate, on their hip movement, on their shoulder movement, and so on and so on. So the stroke's going to feel a bit disjointed, a bit broken, because they're used to a certain pattern of movement. So with the stroke rate comes the kick rate and everything like that as well, how far they're rotating and so on and so on. So practicing intervals at specific stroke rates is a really good way of helping, and kick rates, obviously, it's helping them to achieve that. Now, this isn't going to be for every age group. I have to stress that.
Yeah.
I'd say this is for your guys, maybe 16, 17 upwards. Yeah. With the guys younger than that, you're saying, oh, you've got a 45 stroke rate. That means nothing to them. Yeah. It means nothing to them. Oh, okay, cool. That's all they're going to say. Brilliant. Older guys, you've got a stroke rate here on your first 50 or 45, but then it drops down to a 38 on your second 50. So we need to train you at 45 stroke rate for extended distances, then you don't drop down to those 30s. No, simple. That's the way to go.
Stroke rate is some area where I find that a lot of swimmers, you figure out your stroke rate, you sort that out, and improvements become very easily from that, very easily.
Yeah, 100%. And it's not, like we say, it's not just for your sprint guys, it's for your mid-distance, for your distance guys. Stroke rate, it's very important and something that shouldn't just be ignored, because recording it in training can be a bit difficult. You've then got to change the mode on your stopwatch, start, stop, and so on. And if you've got 20 swimmers in the pool, it's a pain. Not everyone has access, say, to your tempo trainers and what have you. I mean, I've never used a tempo trainer before, but I know the benefits behind them. Not everyone's going to have those tools to use. You just need, I'd say, if you're going to do a set on it, you need to be really fully prepared to go in. We're going to work on this on stroke rate intervals right now. We'll do it 8 50s. No more than 15. You're practicing it, perfect, onto the next. Let's put that into a main set, but try and emulate that for a longer distance, that sort of stuff.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. I think there's also another aspect too. If you are struggling with the stroke rate, is maybe try and implementing a bit of overspeed, I would have thought. If you implement a bit of overspeed, you're going to be traveling at a faster rate anyway, and then sort of like going over speed means that by the time you take your fins off, take all the assistance off, when you come back down, you're going to be slightly higher stroke rate anyway, just naturally. Or even try
you're getting used to moving your joints faster. Absolutely. It's a great way to switch on. So Same with overspeed. If you have fins on, if you have a bungee tied around you and people are pulling you in, you are going to move at a faster stroke rate, absolutely. But I personally, I'd say that's more of a prepping for a speed set more than helping to increase stroke rate.
Okay. Yeah, no,
I do understand the thought process though. I really do.
Because there's other little things as well, like you can do spin drills and bits like that, try and get those, like the neural pathways a little bit more.
Yeah, just switched on.
Yeah.
More than anything, absolutely. Absolutely. Awesome.
Yeah, no,
it's just, a lot to think about in swimming. It's not just let's get in, do some meters and get out again. There's lots to think about if you're really wanting to see results. It's all about the planning.
Yeah, I fully agree that. And if you spend some time before you get in the pool planning through what you're going to do, you'll see so much more benefits.
Absolutely. 100%. I mean, I know when I started coaching, it was fairly easy just to chuck a set up onto the board and then away you go. But now I'm having to sit down, I'm planning 2-3 weeks ahead with your micro cycles. I know what I want to do throughout the year. The content of the sessions I can leave a little bit, but I know what I need to do for the whole season before the season even starts, you know. You have to. You really do. With competition markers, taper markers, everything like that. You've got to, you're there to get the best out of your swim as possible, and they're there trusting you to do that. So you need to take the time to look at it, most definitely. And you will make mistakes. You will. But you learn from those mistakes. Mistakes are the best things you can ever do.
No, I agree. And mistakes are not all that bad.
No,
like, good things always come out of mistakes. Like, and you will never ruin something so badly that it's all going to go down the pot. Like,
Exactly. Not with swimming, anyway.
No, it's swimming. Quite a big margin of error, so don't worry about that too much.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, but guys, if all else fails, and you just need to swim, just get in and swim.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have a staple set that you always do. Like, there's a couple when I do when I know I can't make training and I'm like away somewhere. There's a couple of sets that I'll just do because I know how to do them. I know them off by heart. And it's just gets you going, and that's what you need to do.
And there's nothing wrong with doing a go-to or a favorite set, because if that keeps you motivated to keep going, then that's perfect. Yeah?
Yeah.
It's absolutely perfect.
I think my go-to set is a set of 4:25s, four rounds of 4:25s. The first round's on a minute, second round's on, first round's on 90, second round's on a minute, then it's on 30, and then it drops down again, I think, to like 15.
Ooh,
and so it's going down through that. But whenever I can't make training and I'm at a public pool somewhere else, like up north or something, when I have to travel, that's the session I'll be doing every single
time. Fair enough. It's a good one. It's a go-to for me. What's a go-to? Depends on the time of season. If it's beginning of season, 5-200 skid ups, swim kick. Drill, pool, swim, or swim, kick, swim, pool, swim. Great. Amazing. You can change the interval if you want to do more. Make it 5-3s, 5-4s. You know, 1-2K, simple, really nice to go. What I'm really liking now as a bit of a prep side of stuff is 12-25s. One kick, two drill, three swim, descend 1-3.
Yeah.
Swim.
We've been doing that
progressing
recently.
Through the stroke. It just gets you switched on, it gets you prepared for your main, most definitely.
No, there's some good solid like go-to sessions, and they can be like a mixture of all things there, just to try and, if it's getting you in the pool at that point, that's all that matters really.
100%, totally agree. But again, guys, any thoughts, any questions, anything like that, please just send them in. We're always really happy to hear from you guys. Helps with the content.
Yeah. Yeah. No, Oh, Pete, send in your swim sets, bits like that. We can go through them. If there's swim sets that we haven't covered so far, because I know we've gone one aerobic, two lactate, and then a bit of a test set. So we probably need to broach into maybe some VO2 or threshold kind of stuff. Though me and Sam are not fans of that.
Not that we're not fans, it's just that we don't utilize that as much. Let's say that. I love a big set. I love a threshold.
No, you're
coaching. I love coaching.
I was going to say, you're on your own there, mate.
I love coaching a threshold. I used to enjoy a threshold back in the day, but not so much anymore.
But yeah, so guys, of course, send in your swim sessions via all our social media. It's the Swim Coaches Podcast on Facebook and Instagram. You can get in contact with us either commenting on posts or direct message us, either or. We're available on all well-known podcasts, so Spotify, Apple Podcasts, bits like that. Listen up. We're going to keep going with these breakdown episodes with the swim sets because they seem to be getting some really good reviews, and we're helping you guys out there at this time when some of you are going to have to be public swimming in tier three lockdowns. So especially with London now going down, we've got a couple more audience. I know Jim's probably going to be wondering what to do.
Oh, yeah. Shout out to Jim Sanderson.
He'll be taking these sets. Love it. All right. So thanks very much, guys. And we'll be back next week with another one of these with some more swim sets as well. So thanks from Clive.
Yeah. And thanks from Sam. Thanks for listening, guys.
Yeah. Cheers, guys.